Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
But first, in the UK, learner drivers will now be quizzed on their life-saving CPR skills when taking theory tests. The new question on CPR and defibrillators will be added to the theory test from early next year. And for more on this, I'm joined by Vincent McAvenny, a UK-based journalist, and also by Siobhan Butler, a registered general and paediatric nurse who runs First Aid for Everyone. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Vincent, good morning. To you first, why has this changed? Why has the theory test in the UK been changed? How long has it been around for?
Well, the UK theory test has been around for decades. The UK is, though, reviewing procedures at the moment, and you've seen some other announcements recently talking about having a compulsory eye test for drivers over 70. We thought we were actually going to get graduated driving licenses as well for young people, so that in line with a lot of other countries, they wouldn't be able to sort of drive with friends in the car for the first year. But that proposal has fallen by the wayside. But it seems the Driving Vehicle Standards Agency has decided to add this in. There has been a long-running public campaign in the UK to improve and boost knowledge of first aid and CPR. In most towns, villages you go through in the UK now, you'll see probably an old post box which now contains one of these sort of handheld, automatically operated defibrillators. And so the decision has been taken that with people in cars, often the first on the scene when someone has a cardiac arrest, that this knowledge should be imparted at them at the point of doing the test. And 2.4 million people a year take this test, so it is a huge boost in the number of people.
All right, so it's not specifically related to incidents at the scene of car accidents or if somebody is taken ill in a car. This is a public health measure, and the driver theory test is being seen as the route to simply upskill more people. Is that it?
Yeah, that seems so, because, you know, as I said, there's lots of long-running campaign to get this into the school curriculum. That hasn't really happened yet, although a lot of young people do learn first aid when they're doing things like the Duke of Edinburgh Award or other schemes like that. But this seems a way that they can sort of get it in, because schools say that they've already got a sort of enough on the curriculum at times. This is another way of getting young people trained up. Although it has to be said, increasingly younger people in Britain aren't actually taking up driving.
Oh, just relying on public transport, can't afford it?
Both. I mean, the cost of insurance in the country has really risen. There's also sort of, you know, slightly different generation of younger people. They're going out and about less. But a large part of that does seem to be the cost. There are talks today as well in the UK that all under 22-year-olds will be given a free public transport pass to help them get to work and school. So the incentive to get on the road at 17 is definitely lessening.
And Vincent, just has there been any reaction from, is there any sense of how people feel about this being on the driver theory test? Sometimes people feel the test is already onerous enough without new elements being added to it.
Well, I mean, there's been a sort of positive reaction from Resuscitation Council UK that says they're delighted that this will be adding on, that they want to work with the DVSA to devise this and introduce defibrillator awareness. And we've heard as well from the family members of people who have died of a cardiac arrest. One father, Len Noakes, whose daughter Claire died in 2017. She was only 24 years old. He's been campaigning for this kind of education to be brought in, and so he's delighted, but nothing yet from sort of the drivers groups or the AA or anything like that on it.
All right. As I said at the outset, Siobhan Butler, registered general and paediatric nurse who runs First Aid for Everyone, has been listening to all of that. Siobhan, is that something you'd like to see here?
Thanks, Colm. Just, I'm a former paediatric and general nurse. I'm actually currently full time at the First Aid. I think it would be a fantastic incentive. You know, the more people that have these skills, the more chance they have of maybe stepping forward or starting the process before the ambulance arrive. So I think I was just in the M50 last night going to a course, and it was like a car park. And I did actually think, if there was an accident, first of all, how would the ambulance get in? And would people know to safely get out of their own cars and help? So I think, you know, having this confidence, you're more likely to step forward if somebody needed it.
And obviously, as Vincent was outlining there, for people who want to drive, they can't avoid this kind of training, it obviously removes the idea of people just signing up voluntarily for the sake of doing first aid, even though that is in and of itself important.
So do you mean like it should it be part of the driving here as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, is there the great advantage to it being a lot more people will want to learn how to drive than maybe pushing themselves to learn first aid and CPR?
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a fantastic skill to have. So, you know, if you're out in your car and you have the first aid skills, you know, the chances are you will use it. That's the sad reality, that the chances are, you know, when we do first aid, we're more likely to offer our help. So, you know, having that training puts you in a prime position to be the first person there to help.
And the UK is you know, introducing this, or certainly looking at introducing it, as Vincent has been saying. Do we know how prevalent it is in other countries, the introduction of CPR and basic first aid for people learning how to drive?
Well, I know in Germany, my husband is German, and I'm actually just on a break in a first aid course here. We had a chat about this earlier. They can't do their driving test without the first aid. It's compulsory. It's part of it. And I remember the first time I was there, we were on the Autobahn and an ambulance came, and I just couldn't believe how orderly the traffic was. Mm. Half of them went to the right, half to the left. The ambulance takes the middle of the road. That's when I was told, yes, it's compulsory. They know to do that, which is a very simple thing, but as part of their driving, they know, okay, the ambulance...
It needs to come up to me. I saw it myself over the summer. Yeah. There was an accident on the Autobahn, and some people pull over and make the gap by half pulling over to the hard shoulder, and other people go up against the divide, and they just create a lane. It's an Autobahn protocol all over Germany.
But I just thought last night, the job I was going to was 43 minutes, and it took me 1.5 hours, 1 hour 40, and I just thought, how would an ambulance get in here? It would have been impossible, because you know, the four lanes were occupied. So, you know, somebody could have a heart attack at the wheel. It's not even, you know, and that could cause a car crash or an accident. It's just knowing that you put your hazards on, you put on your high-vis, like even having these in the car, a first aid kit, you have a red triangle. Even knowing to have these in your car at the moment could be hugely beneficial.
I'm sure people might have first aid kits, but what you actually do when you pull it out is another question.
Do you know what's in it? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And that whole idea, I mean, I suppose it's not just first aid. When it's motor, road-specific first aid, you know, you've mentioned there the red triangle, putting on your high-vis. There's protocols to kind of make yourself safe before you start looking after anyone else.
I mean, anyone that's ever done a first aid course with me, I'm mad for the high-vis jackets, having your red triangle, knowing where they are, and, you know, even have your high-vis on the door of your car, because if you want to step out and help, there's a chance you could get injured as well. So put your hazards on, you know, have your high-vis, wave, and then maybe somebody else sees you taking the lead and thinks, gosh, I might be able to help here as well. So before, it's not mandatory here, but these are small little tools that are certainly on the way to kind of keeping us safer, to allow us to offer help to people.
And just in terms of the format of the test, I mean, would you be a believer in a practical test as part of the theory test, you know, carrying out CPR on a dummy and that kind of thing? Or is it just a paper test? I mean, I suppose the logistics of that would have to be looked at. But in order for it to be effective, what's the best way of testing people's knowledge?
Well, I think personally, because mine are driving now, and anyone that has kids that are driving, it's the most nerve-wracking thing ever. And then mine are up to date with their first aid. But I think nothing beats, really, I suppose, being in a role-play situation. Hi, my name is Siobhan, I'm a first aider, can I help? And then if you need to get them onto the ground, having that memory mapping where you've actually physically done it, it comes back a lot easier. But I mean, you know, I suppose having some semblance of knowledge is better than nothing at all, you know.
I see somebody texting in, Seamus, to 0870 32 32 32, saying, why isn't first aid mandatory for transition year? In his view, it really should be. It would be a belt and braces approach if it was there in transition year and in the driving theory test.
Yeah, it
would give people a chance for a refresher course, because I suppose a lot of people aren't learning how to drive until into their 20s or early 30s.
But it puts the idea, because we do first aid for a lot of transition year schools, and they do it, as your previous caller was saying about the Duke of Edinburgh Awards, they do it for Angashka. And there's a great enthusiasm for the TYs because, you know, they're going out and about and you're not with parents, you're with your peers, and it gives them this enthusiasm. So generally when they start it, it puts the idea in the head, or some of them do sailing and they need it for that. So that could be a continuous thing to refresh every 2 years. So the next one you'd be 18, and then, so, you know, it's a life skill. It's probably one of the most valuable skills any of us could learn.
And do you find yourself training people who are getting trained up post the event? You know, they may have come across a dangerous situation and they realised in the moment, oh my God, I don't know what to do here, and I never want to let that happen again.
That's a very common one, Colin. That's, you know, we always ask people in the classes, why did you want to come on? It's mandatory for some people, others. And we do a lot of family first aid where there might have been an event in the family and the children are involved. And I mean, I did one there recently. The children were 6, 11 and 13 and their knowledge was phenomenal. I mean, they just were so into it. And, you know, even something as simple, do you know your address if anything happens, mom or dad? Do you know your air code? Do you know who to call? You know how to safely go to your neighbour. So I think prevention, and children absorb a lot easier than adults. We think too much. We're like, oh God, this could happen. They're like, oh yeah. So I think, you know, in some aspects people do it because they have to do it. Like you said, somebody might have been on a bus, somebody having a seizure, and they think, gosh, I'd love to have been able to help, but I couldn't. So I'll do a first aid course. Choking is a very, very big one. You know, if somebody has a choking event, it's like, I really did not know what to do there, or I waited for somebody else. And unfortunately, in every situation, there isn't always somebody else to set in. It could be just you.
Okay, Siobhan Butler, thanks very much for joining us on that.
Yeah,
and thanks for those insights. Now, coming up, more knives being seized by Gardaí. But does that mean knife crime is actually getting worse?
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.